Chapter 4. All of us who were gathered in Bowden's magnificent greenhouse followed the excited koala man down to the barn, and there was a carriage being pulled by two ox-roach poracks, along with two men waiting up top in the coach seat.
"Delivery, Osher Brightwood," the coach driver said as he jumped down. "I have three parcels for you, sir. Where should I put them?"
"Just on the ground, right here, will be fine,"
Shay said as she hurried to the first crate, where another delivery person was prying open the lid with a crowbar-like device.
"I hope you don't mind, husband, but your wives have taken the liberty of purchasing some odds and ends from the market."
"Seeing as how we have more gold than I know what to do with, that's fine by me," I chuckled, and ventured closer in curiosity. Her verdant green eyes sparkled as the last crate was popped open, and she softly clapped her hands together.
"Have a good day, my lord,"
the coach driver said with a tip of his brown hat. Then he jumped back up on top of the carriage and guided the poracks down the path.
"What's all in there?"
Rylan asked, as he stood up on his tiptoes to try to peer inside the first deep crate.
"Presents,"
Zoe said with a grin, as she shook out a cobalt-blue long coat that looked like it was made from a fine velvet and just the right size for our resident koala butler.
"Oh, my,"
Jenner said, as his fluffy gray ears twitched.
"Is that..."
"Your old coat is much too tattered, and I thought of you when I saw it,"
the catwoman said, and held it out to him. Jenner took the garment reverently in his furred hands, as if it was the Shroud of Turin, although instead of the impression of a deity's face, the back of the coat had a beautifully embroidered tree stitched in silver thread.
"It's the symbol of the knowledge tree in Engian lore," he breathed, as he traced the fine thread with one of his clawed fingers. "My dear Zoe, oh, my dear child."
He then whipped off his old patchwork piece, tossed it aside, and slipped on the deep blue velvet work of art. With each hand, he smoothed his sleeves down to free them of any wrinkles, and then he finally tugged the hem so it fitted the way he liked.
"Ahem!"
He cleared his throat and removed his monocle from his suspiciously wet eye as he busied himself with cleaning it.
Thank you, Zoe. This is quite honestly the nicest thing anyone has ever given me. I will treasure it like I treasure our friendship."
"You're welcome, Jenner,"
Zoe said, and crouched down to hug the koala man like some perfect goddamn Disney princess or something. He spluttered a little in surprise, but then he returned the hug just as tightly.
"And, Rylan, I purchased you something I hope you will like,"
Shay said a little shyly as she went to the second crate and pulled out a beautiful mahogany leather saddle. It was soft and buttery looking, and the brass buckles were polished to a high shine.
"Miss, Shay, this is just, wow!"
Rylan rambled as he held the saddle in his arms.
"It seems as if Prosper and Victory will become proud parents to a baby manipilla soon, and I wanted to know if you would like to help me rear it when it's born,"
Shay continued as she placed an arm around his skinny shoulders.
"If you can help me rear the young one, you may have it as your own."
"Can you help me change it into a caterfly when it gets older?"
Rylan asked, as his eyes widened in excitement.
"If that is your wish, we will help urge its metamorphosis in the future,"
she said.
"Oh, thank you!"
he practically shouted and hugged the saddle close to his chest.
"I'm going to go oil it and hang it up."
And then he was off like a shot, like a kid who wanted to try out his brand new Christmas present before he even had a chance to change out of his pajamas. "Did you get him anything else?" I asked, and peered into the crates one at a time. It looked like there was everything in them from fine linens, books, silverware, to new cookery for Arvid, and more quills and ink for Jenner. And of course, clothes. A lot of clothes.
"Nothing he would find more interesting than the tack I got him,"
Shay chuckled as she pulled out a bundle of what looked to be socks and undergarments.
"You ladies thought of everything," I marveled, as I pulled out a little wooden box of what were apparently hand-cut toothpicks.
"We took inventory of what was necessary, and after we purchased the essentials, we used the rest for a few creature comforts,"
Shay said. And she pulled out a little canvas sack and removed a purple jawbreaker-like candy.
"Right, Zoe? You ordered Papa Sweets?"
the catwoman asked as her ears perked high and her tail swished back and forth.
"A little bumblebird whispered in my ear that these are your favorite,"
she said, and held the sweet out to her.
And then an amazing thing happened. Zoe wriggled her nose as she sniffed the sweet, and then she took the candy from Shay's fingers with her lips.
Mmm, thank you.
Zoe purred as she licked some of the purple coloring off Shay's thumb.
You're welcome,
the Phoenix woman said and brushed some of Zoe's hair out of her face before the shorter woman leaned up on her tiptoes and nuzzled her cheek against Zoe's. Yeah, thank you, I murmured as I watched my two beautiful wives rub themselves affectionately against each other, and I felt a low flame of arousal lick at the base of my spine. Jenner discreetly nudged me with a knowing chuckle, and I cleared my throat and straightened up.
I'd ask if you got Mr. Alex anything in there, but I'm not sure there's anything more interesting than the beautiful picture you two make, Mel gruffed out with a smirk.
We definitely got Alex many things,
Shay said, as she handed the bag of candies over to Zoe, who happily took them and skipped over to my side so she could put one of the sweets on my tongue.
We also got some stuff for you and your brother too, Mr. Mel,
my cat wife said, as she tried not to laugh at my reaction to the crazy sour taste of the Papa Sweet. My eyes watered, and I quickly crunched my way through the acrid outer shell to get to the sudden whiplash of dark cocoa mixed with the clove-like candy center.
Oh!
The shorter raccoon brother mumbled a little bashfully, as if it hadn't even occurred to him that he and Bowden were included.
Ah, you didn't have to, m'lady.
We most certainly did, Mr. Mel,
Shay exclaimed.
You and your brother have added so much to Ithaca. The greenhouse alone is a work of art and will provide a harvest we can sell at the Mid-Crescent Festival later in the season. That alone is tremendous.
She's right, I chimed in after I swallowed my treat. You both are indispensable.
So, the last crate is for the two of you,
Shay explained and patted the top of said crate.
In there you will hopefully find things that will make your stay in the farmhouses more comfortable. There wasn't a big variety in the palace square that catered to lenient folk, but based on what they did have, Zoe and I managed to choose a fair selection of wares and food items.
You found maca nuts,
Bowden enthused, and popped something similar to a black and white striped chestnut into his mouth.
Mel, maca nuts!
This is quite a bounty indeed, my lady,
Mel said with a large grin on his masked face. Go, I said to the brothers with a matching smile of my own. I was just so proud of my two wives for how they came together and were managing the details of my estates and making sure everyone was provided for. Go and unpack your stuff. We got the rest of this.
Are you sure you don't need help in bringing these things back to the manor?
Bowden asked, even though he was already replacing the lid on the crate while his brother somehow materialized a wheelbarrow out of thin air.
Quite sure. Go on. Settle in, you two.
I shooed them away and laughed as they all but ran down the hill toward the series of farmhouses just past the woot tree orchard with their prize.
And I will take it upon myself to bring Arvid these splendid kitchen and pantry items,
Jenner said, as he climbed out of the first crate and took care to brush his new coat free of any dust or debris.
Although, I could use a hand carrying this parcel.
I think our quick-thinking stable boy might have you covered, I said, as I spotted Rylan coming back from the barn with another wheelbarrow in tow.
Good show, lad, the koala man cheered. Now help us load it. There's a good boy. What about the lost one?
Rylan asked.
Don't worry about it,
I said, as I hefted the remaining crate up. It was about 80 pounds, and it took me a moment to heave the unwieldy thing high above my head.
I need to start practicing with that heavy shield anyway, so I might as well get started. Lead on, my wives.
Shay and Zoe giggled at my antics as they trotted past us arm in arm.
Okay, Rye, go with Jenner and help him and Arvid with the stuff, and I'll bring this upstairs,
I said, and continued on toward the main staircase.
But do come upstairs after you've finished,
Shay told the stable boy.
There are a few clothes of yours we have in this box.
Clothes?
I huffed, as my arms already started to feel weary from holding the crate over my head.
Is that all that's in here?
Most of it, yes,
Shay said, as she led the way while Zoe made sure I wouldn't mark up the walls whenever I turned a corner.
After all, you are a fourth-ranked duelist who will be obligated to attend all manner of social events with his two wives, starting with this evening's gala.
What's wrong with what we're wearing now?
I grunted, as I cheated the last two corridors by resting the crate on my head.
If our current outfits were good for the Lord of the Island, then they should be more than fine enough for this auction thing.
If it were any other gala event, I would agree with you, husband,
the Phoenix woman sing-songed.
But the traders' auctions are elaborate events where everyone dresses up as much as they can, often wearing masks or makeup to disguise themselves.
Why would they want to disguise themselves? I asked, as I pushed my way into our shared suite. Isn't acquiring wives and concubines an improvement in status somehow? You'd think they'd want everybody to know.
Not too long ago, it was considered very taboo to acquire assets such as these through gold instead of through the honor of a duel. But now it's just for show,
Zoe intoned, as she brought over a small, sturdy table for me to set my burden on. Thank the goddess. I was no weakling, but holding that shield was going to take some crazy stamina to make it through a whole day and night. Stamina I hoped I could build up enough in only 5 days.
Show me what you got, I said in an overly eager voice, so I could get my mind thinking about less stressful topics.
Oh, there is simply so much to choose from,
Shay said, as a playful smile caused the corners of her mouth to twitch.
Don't you think so, my dear Zoe?
Oh, yes,
my cat wife wheedled.
We must see our options presented to us one at a time. Wouldn't you agree, darling Shay?
You two are doing that thing again where you're in on something together and I'm not, I said with my hands on my hips, as if I was offended. In reality, I loved when they kinda ganged up on me like that. Their combined flirtatious teasing drove me crazy in all the right ways.
It's nothing nefarious, husband,
my Phoenix wife giggled.
We were just thinking we might need to see you try everything on before we decide what to wear ourselves. After all, we are a matched set.
Wait, what? I asked as my smile faded. You want me to put on a fashion show? When they both just looked at me with their excited jeweled eyes, I knew I was in trouble. Sure enough, about 3 hours and 86 different outfits later, I was finally standing back in front of the mirror, staring at someone I hardly recognized as myself. For starters, part of the reason that damn box was so fucking heavy was because Zoe took it upon herself to buy me some new silver armor, complete with matching pauldrons, a chest plate, vam braces, and leg greaves all polished to an outstanding shine. Under that was a lightweight chainmail vest, all over a fine indigo tunic and leather breeches. A heavy black mantle with a white and black spotted furred collar clipped to the armor's pauldrons and hung down to my ankles and concealed my Roman-like sword attached to a flashy armored belt. And the whole thing was finished off with a decorative crossbow slung across my back that Zoe told me was ancient and only for show. That was all well and good. But what altered my appearance above all else were the filigreed swirls and patterns Zoe was currently inking onto my face.
Don't squirm so much,
she chastised me for the 10th time, as she leaned close and drew more tree branch-like designs around my right eye.
Sorry, I'm not one for makeup, I said with a grin.
Zoe held my chin between her thumb and forefinger so I wouldn't move, and I watched as her sapphire eyes honed in and focused on her task. At this distance, I could see the cat's eye of her pupil expand and contract in its peculiar diamond way. It was hypnotizing enough to keep me from fidgeting, and before I knew it, she was putting down the small ink brush.
There,
she said, and leaned back so she could inspect her work. How do I look? I asked, as I tried not to scratch at the drying ink.
You look mysterious, which is the objective,
Zoe purred, leaned close, and then booped the tip of her nose with mine so a dot of black ink appeared on hers.
Would you like to see yourself?
I hummed as I brought her in closer by the waist. Well, I don't know. I like the view just fine.
Now, you must take a look at yourself,
she said, and then pulled her head away before I could kiss her.
How else will you compliment me on my masterpiece?
Zoe grinned and then moved out of the way so I could finally see all of myself in the vanity mirror again. Whoa, I said, and stood up from the cushioned stool to get a better look at the details. Zoe had painted a mask over my eyes that reminded me a little of Zorro. But instead of just a flat swath of solid black, she had painstakingly drawn each detail as if the mask was woven out of actual willow branches. Also, because of the metallic sheen to the ink, the whole effect made the mask look three-dimensional under the light. I looked rather badass.
Do you like it?
She asked shyly. Zoe, I said, with a poleaxed expression even the awesomeness of the mask couldn't hide. How did you learn to do something like this?
I am,
She stuttered, and her ears flattened a quarter of the way and swiveled back as if she was flustered.
Often I would distract myself during training by drawing designs in the desert sands. It became one of those bad habits I could never break.
I don't think you understand what I mean, kitten, I said, and turned around to face her. People kill for this type of talent back where I'm from. You could have your pick of top art schools on this talent alone, or even do something down to earth like become a tattoo artist. Although the tattoo artists I knew weren't really down to earth a lot of the time.
Women can become tattooists where you're from?
Zoe asked, as her ears perked up again. Anyone with skill can, and babe, you got it, I summed up, and tugged her in so I could put a kiss on her cheek.
Who has what?
Shay's melodious voice sang, and the two of us turned as one toward the sound. My jaw nearly hit the floor at the sight of her. The gown she wore faded from an emerald green at the hem up into an azure blue throughout the sleek bodice, and made her look delicate yet strong. But the way her hair was styled was the real showstopper. Apparently, when her hair was gathered from underneath like that, the golden layers of her glorious mane could be seen more prominently than the red. When combined with her gown, the way her hair was pinned made her look like the setting sun over a pastoral meadow.
Oh, don't you look like a gorgeous pair? Look at Alex's face! Oh, Zoe, did you do that?
Shay floated closer, and the bottom of her gown rippled like tall leaves of grass.
Yes, it's,
Zoe's ears swiveled back again as a blush stained her cheeks.
Do you want me to do yours, too?
Oh, would you, darling?
The resplendent phoenix woman asked.
I'm thinking gold paint for you, and then silver for me,
Zoe mused, and I watched my wives carry on with a lot more fascination than I thought I would be capable of, given they were just putting on makeup.
What are they doing?
Rylan asked, as he finally poked his head into the suite just as they bustled into the bathroom. They're finishing up, I said, and then patted the small leather sofa I was sitting on for him to join me. Everything squared away?
Yep,
he said, as he flopped down on the cushion next to me.
Ovid says, thank you. And I also took some fresh liver to Argoric. His stupid monger is in the barn attic sleeping now, but look, I managed to get this back from him.
He held up the cracked amulet for me to see, and I grinned. Why don't you keep it? I suggested.
Really?
His eyes grew wide, and he clutched it close to his chest. Yeah. Even though the stone is cracked now, it's still pretty lucky, I said.
Okay. Thanks, Alex,
he said, as he slipped it over his head.
How do I look?
Very handsome,
Zoe said when she and Shay walked back into the main room. Zoe had changed into the dark blue two-piece she wore for the blue gala not too long ago, complete with the skirt that was more like a long loincloth due to the miles of her gorgeous legs I could see on either side. A halter top exposing her toned midriff, and her delicate feet left bare, as was tradition for her people. The only non-traditionally Varthan thing was the royal blue headscarf spangled with stars braided through her midnight hair, and it wasn't until Zoe and Shay were side by side that I realized their game. Shay wasn't the setting sun, she was the rising sun, and the shimmering gold ink of her own mask reflected that beautifully, as if the sun's rays were actually sprouting from her emerald irises. That meant, if Shaylia was the dawning day, then by contrast, Zoe was the deep and mysterious night, with her blue eyes highlighted by the silver she inked around them.
Hey, you already had your outfits planned the whole time, didn't you?
I accused them, with a mock glare at both of them, even though their matching grins made my heart skip a few beats at how striking they both were.
Our game is up, my darling Zoe.
Shay giggled behind her hand.
I knew once he saw us together, he would know something was going on.
Zoe said with a proud smile as I sauntered toward them. She then held up the small herald trumpet I received from Mech before draping the long leather strap over one of my shoulders so the ceremonial object rested against my other hip.
He is quite a clever one, our Alex.
So if you're morning and you're night, what am I supposed to be? I asked, as I wrapped an arm around each of them.
You are the twilight in between that holds the day and the night in his hands,
Shay said, and there went my heart again.
Miss Zoe,
Ryland spoke up as he blinked his large brown eyes.
Can you teach me how to draw like that?
We all laughed. After the three of us finally had on the proper attire to mingle with the highest of society, it was only a short carriage ride to the village square and back to the large battle hall where the trader's auction was being held.
Let us take your carriage, sir and ladies,
a weasel-like footman said, with a mask made of black feathers. We disembarked like royalty, and I admit I felt a bit like a badass waltzing in, looking like we did. However, the closer we came to the large arena-slash-Viking mead hall, the more Zoe slowed her pace until she stopped completely and caused her arm to slip out of mine. Zoe? I glanced at her with a worried frown. When she remained staring up at the battle hall with her pointed ears lying flat against the top of her head, Shay and I came up and tugged her out of the way so the people behind us didn't have to part around her like a river stone.
Darling?
Shay asked, as she put a hand against the Catwoman's suddenly pale cheek.
I'm sorry,
Zoe said, and seemed to snap herself out of her brief trance, even though her ears were still lowered.
I admit my memories are a bit dark due to the last time I was here at the auctions. I will try harder to put it out of my mind.
I draped my arm around her and tucked her in close. We don't even have to do this, kitten, I reminded her. It shouldn't be our responsibility to save Vel Rala from her choices.
You're right,
she said. But then her ears finally rose, and a look of determination came over her face.
But no one deserves the fate that awaits them from the traitors.
With her cryptically grave utterance, I was reminded that although we were all dressed up for a party that could probably put all of the Roaring Twenties to shame, this would not be like the other galas or events I'd participated in simply due to the fact the MCs hosting the auction sounded like the scum of Aventol.
Are you sure?
The Phoenix Woman asked, as she fussed with the scarf braided through Zoe's hair.
I have you two,
she said with a smile, and the last of the storm clouds in her ocean eyes evaporated. Then Zoe looped her arms through both of ours and led us into the large hall like the brave woman she was. Not much had changed from when I was in the battle hall just a few days ago. There was already some type of entertainment beginning to take place on the hard-packed dirt of the arena. But this time, the entertainment wasn't me for once, and I was escorted to the spectator stands for a change with Zoe on my right and Shay on my left. There were already flagons of that violet-colored Vernaberry wine and platters filled with the typical Nada Isle fare I was getting used to eating, like roasted purple ash roots, fresh bread, and porak meat slow-cooked in cauldrons of fragrant stew kept warm over large hot-plate glowstones. Down in the ring, something similar to a gladiator fight was taking place between a wasp-like man with four arms and two swords and a toad creature with no arms and two giant back legs. It kept trying to lash the wasp man with its long barbed tongue, but each time it got close to striking the man with the sticky green appendage, the wasp man would slice clean through the muscle only for it to respawn a few minutes later. It was a mixture of weirdly fascinating and really gross, and I couldn't make up my mind on if it put me off my appetite or not.
This is quite barbaric,
Shay said, and I felt her shiver next to me, so I took off my mantle and draped it around her bare shoulders.
Will they get to the auction soon?
That's a good question, I murmured, as we both glanced to my right at Zoe.
The fights come sometime during the second act, which means we have already surpassed the first third of the evening spectacle,
she said in a dead voice.
We missed the flesh parade. I've always hated that part.
The Catwoman trailed off, and I frowned when I could see her knuckles fade to white from how hard she was clasping her hands together. Hey, I whispered, as I forced one of my hands between hers so she would have something more to hold on to. I'm here. As if she was snapping out of a flashback, she shook her head and blinked a little. Then she gasped when she glanced around as if noticing for the first time she had willingly walked herself into a lion's den and was just now regretting that decision. Hey, I said again, and gripped her chin so she would look only at me. I'm still right here, Zoe. I'm your husband, and nothing is going to happen to you. She breathed out long and slow as she closed her eyes. Like raindrops, a few tears trekked down her cheeks and caused the silver ink of her painted mask to weep, just like the willow branches her tattooed design suggested. It was as heartbreaking as it was beautiful, and I was half convinced this was all a big mistake when Zoe opened those beautiful orbs once more, and she smiled like the sun.
I know.
She squeezed my hand one more time, took a steady sip of wine, and then rested her head against my shoulder for a while. I didn't quite know what conclusions she came to behind that mysterious mask, but I figured I didn't really need to know, as long as she kept smiling like that.
Is Zoe well?
Shay asked in a low voice. I think so, I murmured back, as I kept rubbing my hand up and down her arm as she continued to rest against me. Maybe it was her cat-like characteristics, but there were times the only thing Zoe needed was just to be touched. Shay picked up on this early on, especially since her species was big on grooming one another as an act to strengthen bonds, or for just plain comfort. So it was no surprise when she asked me to switch seats with her a moment later so she could fiddle with the catwoman's hair. I chuckled and let her sit in the middle, even though it was awkward to shuffle around her, especially since she was apparently taking my large, fur-collared cloak with her. Oh, sorry, I said, when I accidentally bumped into the spectator now on my left.
No harm done,
a weathered voice creaked out from under a large, lion-like headpiece that only left the lower part of his stubbled face visible. Then he reached out with a gloved hand for a shake. The phantom pain of the scar around my forearm throbbed, and the thought of shaking his hand made my guts squirm. But Zoe had the forethought to get vambraces that encompassed my entire forearm instead of just the upper part like most designs. They were also made of a metal that reminded me of what Beskar iron would look like if the Mandalorian was a real thing. So not only were they awesome as well as functional, they were also formed perfectly to my arms and lined with a soft leather. Even so, I still dodged the stranger's handshake by saluting with my fist over my heart like I had seen many of the natives do, and I hoped it would pass. The lion-masked spectator grunted, saluted me back, and went back to his wine.
Rah!
The toad-like creature squealed as the wasp gladiator man finally ran his blade through the miserable beast, and the crowd went wild as its bloated insides spilled out with a hiss of black blood and steam. Yeah, definitely wasn't hungry anymore. When the cheering died down, a low humming din could be heard as more wasp men flew into the arena to clear away the carnage while others wheeled in a large stone dais they placed in the very center like a stage. What's going on? I asked Zoe, as the lights in the large lit braziers dimmed.
The third act,
she said, as Shay finished unbraiding her hair so she could tie the scarf around the catwoman's shoulders.
The auctions are about to start, so have your herald trumpet ready. That is what you will raise to place your bid.
Okay, I said, and took it off from around me. More buzzing sounded as a fly person with a massive, bloated head and two bulbous maroon eyes hovered his stunted body over to the dais. In his four hands, he carried a wooden podium that he set up in the middle.
Noble ashes,
the flyman buzzed.
Let the auction begin.
Cheers roared through the crowd again, as a string of mostly women were paraded into the arena wearing skimpy black leather outfits that left little to the imagination. They looked familiar, and it wasn't until I saw the people being dragged around by ropes tied to the loops in their collars when it hit me Zoe was wearing something similar when I first met her.
Lot number one!
The fly auctioneer bellowed to the jeering crowd, and a wasp man led a vixen-looking woman with large hips and a russet-colored bottle-brush tail.
Starting at 10,000!
Several metallic herald trumpets glinted and shone under the dim lights, and the flyman kept track of them all with his multifaceted eyes. He was babbling a mile a minute until the price of 80,000 was reached, and the auctioneer yelled out a tremendous,
Sold!
It continued this way, person after person sold and traded like cattle to the highest bidder, until the auctioneer called up Lot 23, and a wasp man dragged up a familiar cockatoo woman with a white feathered crest.
She wore the black leather thong bikini like all the rest of the lots being auctioned, and her white hair was fluffed up in alarm as she gazed around the hall with her wide, coal-like eyes. Many spectators jeered and booed, and some even threw things toward the arena.
"Not a popular one, I see,"
the auctioneer chortled through his puckered mouth spout.
"We'll start the bidding at 500 coins.
There was some awkward muttering among the crowd, but no one moved to raise their horn.
"No one,"
the auctioneer said.
"Now about 400.
Scattered snickering could be heard in the stands, but still no one made an offer.
"Do you think you've let her squirm enough, husband?"
Shay asked me with a small smirk. "Oh, I suppose," I said with a mock bored eye roll, and I flashed my herald trumpet at the flyman. 400.
"We have 400. Do I hear 450?
The auctioneer swiveled his bloated head around the silent arena.
"If there are no other bids, lot 23 goes to...
50,000 for the lot,"
a voice like old leather said, and the entire hall crashed into silence. Who the fuck? Why were these things never simple?